turn in your Bibles to page 195. And I'd like you to stand, and we will read the first six verses of the first chapter of Ruth. So please stand, page 195. Follow along with me as I read Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. They went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughter-in-laws prepared to return home from there. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please keep your Bibles open. You may be seated. Summertime is a great time for stories. It is a great time for stories. If you could just move the slide, please. Some of us catch up on our reading, and I realize that our farmers, this is really not reading time for you. This is you're working harder than ever. But for most people, for many people, summertime offers a little time where you get on a little vacation, time to grab a book, and maybe it's not a classic, maybe it's just mind candy, but you just get lost in the story. And one of the best times that can happen in vacations, maybe even a camping trip, is just gathering around and listening to each other tell stories. Listening to older or younger, whichever way the stories go. Things that we don't really take the time to do when we're going day to day. Now, I love to read in the summer, and I'm not sure where I find the time at the moment, but something about summertime and stories and reading, it kicks in. And I don't know if it was because we would come to Fresno every summer from San Francisco, and Dad would drag us to the Doris Gates Children's Room. Who else has done that? Doris Gates Children's Room, Fresno Central Library. You go and you get your bookmark, and with every book that you read, they would put the little stamp on it. And I know the other libraries do it too, but there was something about that cold tile floor, air conditioning. Oh, I actually read. I would just get lost in the stories. Now, I realize that reading isn't everybody's thing. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hands. I get that. But some of us use the summer to catch up on our binge watching, don't we? Well, some of you use weekends, nights when you should be sleeping. Whatever service you use to stream, whether it's Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, whatever it is, sometimes the summer can be the point where you catch up and get up to speed before the next series starts. Telling stories, listening stories, reading stories, watching. Summer is a great time for stories. And Ruth, today we start a new series, just 4 weeks, and we're going to dive in to the story of Ruth. It is one of these books, it's 4 chapters, and I want you to read through it, not just on Sunday mornings. But I want you to read through this short little book. It won't take you more than 15 to 20 minutes, even if you're a slow reader. You can have your kids read it to you, although chapter 3 gets a little bit beyond PG, maybe into PG-13. We'll come to that in a couple weeks. But if you'll just take time, 15, 20 minutes max, just a couple times a week, read through this book of Ruth, I promise you, God is going to be speaking to you in ways that you thought, wait, there was no sermon in there. How did God speak so clearly to me? And I promise you, he will. It's a great story of tragedy and loss, loyalty and promises, bitterness and resentment, romance, redemption, surprises, and all these little unexpected turns. Now, I have to tell you up front, there's no real villain. In the book of Ruth, there's no real villain. But there are heroes. There are heroes. And I believe at times you are going to see yourself. You are going to see yourself in some of the characters that are there in Ruth. What's interesting is that only two actions in the entire 85 verses of the book are attributed to God. God openly only acts two times in the entire story. But you see him working through people. You see his character reflected in people in very, very wonderful ways. And one thing that stands out, and we're going to see this particularly in chapter 1, is that no matter where you are, no matter where you've gone, it's time to come home. No matter where you've traveled, how far or near from God, it's time to come home. We start out, good stories always start with something bad happening. Go ahead and change the slides. Bad things happen, and it starts out in the days that the judges ruled. You've got to know that bad things happen when bad people rule. If you read the book of Judges, things go from bad to worse, and then, God saves. We've got the sin of the people, the judgment of God, and then back again, God's deliverance, and they're blessed. Bad things happen when bad people rule. The judges ruled, they did, the phrase that goes over and over in the book of Judges is, the people did what was right in their own eyes. The people did what was right in their own eyes. The people did what was right. You don't even need to read the book of Judges. How do you think that's going to go? If we all do whatever we think is right for us, that's not going to go well, and it doesn't go well for them unless they cry out to God. When they cry out to God, things go amazingly well. And Ruth is the book that follows Judges. And some commentators look at it and they say, Ruth has to be a separate book, even though it's at the same time period, because Judges is so ugly. You can't read the book of Judges with your children. I'm just going to be straight up front with you. Do not read the book of Judges to your children. You better be real selective if you do. There are some awful things in that book because it shows the depth of our depravity as human beings. But then there's Ruth that follows it. And it's such a contrast that you think, wow, I guess even though the culture as a whole is going down the toilet, not everybody is disobedient. We've got to keep that in mind. You may look at our culture right now and say, oh, everything is bad. Oh, look at this. Listen, everything can be going on around, all around us, but there's always room for a righteous person. There will always be an opportunity for someone to reflect the character of God, and there will always be the opportunity for someone who's walked away to come home, even when bad things are happening. It says that there's a famine. So Elimelech and his wife, Naomi, and their two sons, they leave the promised land that they have been spending generations trying to clear of the enemies. They go and live in Moab. Moabites were enemies of God. No Moabite could ever come into the temple when the temple is finally built. These are not nations on friendly terms with each other. And so you've got to ask the question, yeah, there's a famine in the land, but everybody doesn't leave. This isn't like Armenia. right? We know how many Armenians are leaving Hayastan and coming anywhere else for opportunity. Those are permanent moves. People are leaving for good. There's a famine in the land, and they leave. Very few people at that time left. We're going to see in just a moment that this may have been a family of privilege, and so they wanted to provide a future. Can't really blame them for that. Poor guys, though. You've got Elimelech. His name means the God is king. That sounds promising. Naomi's name means pleasant. That's promising. But you know what the boys' names mean? I don't think you would choose to name your son Mahlon. That means weak. Not a lot of vision there in that name. And then you've got Killian, frail. Don't name your kids weak and frail. That just doesn't go well. So they move to Moab, they live there, and the first thing we see happening is Elimelech dies. Not a good start, not a promising start. Not starvation, but he just dies. And we're told that Naomi's left with her two sons. Then they marry Moabite women. Again, probably not their best move, but they're weak and frail. What do you expect, right? So they marry Moabite women, and then 10 years later, they die. And so you start the book, three of the six characters die within the first six verses. They're dead. And so you have three widows. Three widows. In the ancient world, being a widow, husbandless, and childless puts you in the most vulnerable position possible. Not a good thing. So it's lucky that the Lord shows up. We read in verse 6 that Naomi had heard that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them. The Lord had visited his people by providing food for them. So she's going to head back to Bethlehem. Well, in a story, characters, they're at the core of it. They set out for Bethlehem with her, verse 7 reads, with her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. They are leaving Moab, coming up back to Bethlehem, into the land of Judah, into the promised land. But Naomi's first words to her daughter-in-laws are, go back, each of you to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud. And they said to her, we will go back with you to your people. But Naomi said, return, my daughters, return home. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home. You're getting this refrain. Return home. Go home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand is turned against me. At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates me and you. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. You may even translate that. She ceased talking. And we'll stop there. these characters. Look at Naomi. She is a widow. She's lost her sons. And do you hear what her first words are after she tells her daughter-in-laws to go? They're words of blessing. They're words of blessing. Her desire is for good for Orpah and Ruth. She wants God's blessing on them. Since his blessing isn't on her, let's have it be on you. Do you ever get like that? You can pray all day long for other people, but you don't think God has your best interests in mind. Have you ever felt like that? Where you can look and even pray for others, but you don't pray for yourself. And you come off, maybe even in your own mind, as being really selfless, really humble, really holy. But what it really is a bitter heart toward God. See, she wants blessing. She wants good for her daughters. They have been good to her. And so she says, just go back. Go back. You go home. I'm going home. You go home. I can't provide for you. See, Orpah, they both cry. Everybody's crying. No, we don't want to go back. We'll go with you. But Naomi, she's quite the businesswoman. I think she would have excelled leading a business. Like, listen, let's get down to brass tacks here. I get pregnant now? You gonna wait? You gonna wait for my kids? Even if I have sons, there's no guarantee of anything. Come on. I want what's good for you, so just go back home. I can't provide for you. God hasn't provided for me, so, you know, if we're really going to get anything done, it's going to be up to us. So I can't help you. Can't help you. Sorry. Go home. Orpah succumbs to that. She's willing to stay, but she succumbs to Naomi's practicality. And so she goes. She kisses her, and then she goes. But Ruth clings. Ruth clings to her. You want a picture of loyalty? You want a great model, and it's not just for daughters-in-law, and it's not just to be used, you know, for weddings or engagements, parties. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will be buried. Your people, my people, your God, my God, where you die, I die, buried there. And may God curse me. You've just pronounced blessing on me, but may God curse me if anything but death separates us. Bodvliet said, family camp is for everyone, not just for people who are married and have families. When I read about Ruth, I see sisters. It's a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, but I see sisters. I see friendship. See, our culture is so saturated sexually. When we think relationships, all we think of is sex, and we're so confused now that we've even got the same sexes in relationships in ways that profane the Word of God and the character of God. What Ruth is pronouncing is loyalty in every relationship. It applies to every relationship. I will be loyal to you, your people, my people, your God, my God. Can you imagine how Orpah's life changed? She spent 10 years in a family that knew the living God. Even if they had wandered from him, even if they had stopped trusting God and said, God's not providing for us, we're going to go take care of ourselves, we're going to live in the land of Moab, there's something different even about a disobedient follower of the living God than a pagan, that one who has no knowledge of the living God, there's something different. Do you know who the God of the Moabites was? Chemosh. Do you know how they worshiped Chemosh? There was an altar with a huge mouth. Actually, not that huge. It didn't have to be that huge. It only had to be about this big. Do you know why it had to be this big? Because they threw their babies in the mouth of Chemosh. And there was a fire in it. Can you imagine the sickness, the depravity, and the evil of a system of worship that would throw babies in the mouth of a burning idol? Sometimes we're doing the same thing in this country. You don't need an idol. You don't need a fire. But every year, thousands of babies are being aborted. We're not worshiping the living God when that happens. We're not. Naomi says, go home. Ruth says, no way. No way. I want your people. I want your God. And you need to know something. Even when you are disobedient, there is something different about you. The Holy Spirit does not depart from the lives of Christians, even when they're disobedient. There is something about you that still emanates Christ. It may be fogged and muddled by your sin or my sin, but there's something different. Ruth could see that. There was no way she was going to go back to Chemosh. No way. I'll take my chances with the living God. And we see that later, and especially in the next chapter, just her heart in that. But there's a loyalty. Are you loyal? Do you reflect the loyalty that God expresses to you, to your friends, to your family members, to your spouse, to your children? See, God may only act twice, but Ruth's character, even Orpah's character, this word kindness that shows up is from the Hebrew word chesed. And chesed means loyal love. Loyal love. It's faithfulness no matter what. See, this is an amazing character. Ruth is amazing, and we're only getting started with who she is. See, in good stories, characters really matter. Now notice, she won't go home. She won't go back home. She's going to go with Naomi. Verse 19 reads, so the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. They were excited. And the women exclaimed, can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi, she said. Call me Mara. Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. See, in good stories, people's hearts are revealed, whether it's in the way they act with people or the things that slip out of their mouth. See, I'm convinced that what Jesus said is true. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our hearts leak. You know that? May come up to you, someone comes up to you, hey, how's it going? I'm fine. It's all good. Really? That's funny. Your face doesn't show that. Your body language doesn't show it. See, our hearts leak out. And in this story, because we can't see it, it's not a video, we don't see her face, but I think I see her face. And I think there's some wrinkles in there that are very, very pronounced. Don't call me pleasant. Everybody's excited to see her. No one's judging her as the family that left for Moab. No one's saying, oh, Merke, Naomi. No one's looking down on her. They're welcoming her. The eyes are, their arms are wide open. They're excited to see her. And her, the first words out of her mouth were, poor me, poor me, poor me. And there's really no indication that the death of Elimelech or even the boys was God's judgment. We're left to leave that as it may. No one says, ah, see, God taught you. You shouldn't have done that. No, here she is. She comes back. People are excited to see her. Don't call me bitter, because God is against me. Go ahead and raise your hand if you'd like to change your name to Mara. Some of you are in Mara land right now. You, just one hand, isn't it? Some of you are in a place where you think God is against you, where you're convinced that everything would go fine if just God would get out of the way and stop being your enemy, because you can handle life. You're convinced if God would just let you be, you'd be doing great. And so you are changing your name. Not someone who has received blessing after blessing after blessing from God. All you see is the things that have gone wrong. And I just want to tell you something. She got back to Bethlehem. What had the people in Bethlehem suffered? 4 years? Famine. Does she say, oh, how'd it go for you during the famine? Does she have any thought toward these people? Because when our hearts go bitter, our eyes have this amazing capacity. You know, they can actually flip. So it's just looking inside. And when we look inside, guess, well, it's pretty dark in there. When we're bitter, all it is about us and how God has let us down and how God hasn't done what we wanted to do, and why did God allow this death to happen, and why did God allow the famine, and why? And in case you didn't know, why needs a question mark, not an exclamation mark, if it's a question. Naomi isn't asking a question. She's pronouncing judgment on God. Have you done that lately? I did that this morning. Praise God for the grace of forgiveness. Praise God that at any time we wake up and realize that He visits His people by providing for them, we can come home. Naomi got to come home. Did you notice they didn't stop her at the border? They didn't say, sorry, you've been unfaithful. Who's this foreigner with you? No way. You don't get to come in. God doesn't do that. You can come home. I can come home. This is our God. Our God is willing to let us come home. Is anyone else surprised that Naomi's blind? She went out full, but she came home what? Empty. I don't know which side Ruth was standing on. Probably she was behind her out of respect. Really? Who's that that's with you? Who's the foreigner who chose to be with you? You have to stay tuned for that for next week. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. It's time to come home. God's arms are open wide. Let your bitterness go. Let your bitterness go. And stay tuned for next week. Amen.